You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible. We're in the book of Leviticus, and it does take quite a bit. Some of this seems to be, well, there's a lot of repetition throughout the book of Leviticus, but there's a lot to be gleaned from it, too. So if we're going through the Bible, I guess that means that we really shouldn't skip over anything, even if it is laborious, even if it does take some patience to get through. So I'll just have the patience, and we will get through it. We would miss so much if we did not labor in the Word and go through every part of it. I believe that everyone should pick up the Word, like you would read a good book, or you would read a newspaper or something like that, and spend time in it every day and just read it. Whether you understand it or not, I believe that reading it is very important, because sometimes the understanding comes later. In any case, when you read it, and especially if you read it out loud, not only do you read it, you hear it when you read it out loud, but it becomes part of what is registered in your brain. It becomes part of your life experience. It becomes something inside the well of your mind, which the Holy Spirit can draw on at any time. So it's very important to have the Word in you if the Word is going to come out of you. You have to get it in there first. Not saying that our Heavenly Father, that His Holy Spirit, couldn't give you a Word, which He can, perhaps He does, but I find that more times than not, that the Holy Spirit will draw on that which is in us already. And of course, I'm speaking from my own experience. So it's important to have the Word in us. And to do that, we need to go through it, even when it is laborious, even when it is repetitious. Repetition is a great learning tool, one that should not be neglected or despised. So we're in Leviticus. We're going through repeating some of the offerings that have been repeated already twice. Once was in instruction. A second time was as the sons of Aaron went through the ritual. It was being explained again. And here we see it being put into practice in certain circumstances, mainly having to do with being cleansed from leprosy or some other ailment like that, where you were unclean, but now you've been healed, you've received a healing, and you want to be declared clean so you can get back to your household, go back to your tent, and take your part in the society of Israel of that day. So the priests, and that's where we left off, they brought an offering. And the priest shall take the one he lamb offered for a trespass offering on the law and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before Yahuwah. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, for as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering of the priest upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the toe, great toe of his foot, of him that is to be cleansed, and on his right ear. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it onto the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger into the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before Yahuwah. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the blood of the trespass offering, and the remnant of oil that is in the priest's hand shall he pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before Yahuwah. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterwards he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he is poor, and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make atonement for him, and one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and two turtle doves for the two young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering, and he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, before Yahuwah. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering, and the log of the oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before Yahuwah, and shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and put them upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, and the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before Yahuwah. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering, and the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand shall be put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed to make atonement for him before Yahuwah. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or the young pigeons such as he is able to get. The one is a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. With the meat offering, for the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before Yahuwah. This is the law of him in whom the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. And the Lord, Yahuwah, spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When you come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me that there is, as it were, plague in the house. The priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests, go to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. He shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish, in sight are lower than the wall, the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. Okay, well, now here we have something. The house has a plague. And you know what? Houses have plagues today, don't they? this is fairly funny, if anything. Because now they have these molds in the houses, and you see them, they're red and they're black molds, and they're green molds too, that are in these houses, and this is still a problem today. So a house had a plague, and now houses still have plagues, and they tear out all the sheetrock in the houses and all this stuff to cure these houses of these plagues. Or if they're built wrong so that they hold moisture improperly, the houses can't breathe, and these molds, these terrible molds grow in these houses, and and people get sick from these molds. So that's what we see here. I mean, this is the same thing. They called it a plague then. So the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, the plague be spread in the walls of the house. Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and cast them into an unclean place, a landfill, without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into the unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house after that he hath taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered. Then the priest shall come and look, and behold, the plague be spread in the house. It is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And you shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and you shall carry them forth out of the city. See, if he comes back after you cleanse the house, they're to tear down the house completely and take it to the landfill outside the city. You look at all this, and was it all this just superstition? No. This was coming from the creator of the universe, who nothing is hidden from. We understand all these things today, but they were given rules to take care of these problems 3,000 years ago. Did they understand? I don't know if they understood or not. We don't get that information, whether they understood about the microorganisms and so forth. There's no indication here. Of course, it would be unnecessary to give an indication, but the indication is that this was something that was known to the one who was giving them the rules. And all of these things, these are good. This is a good building and code for, and a condemnation code for building. This is good stuff here. So we're in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 46. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house, after that the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, two cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill the one bird in an earthen vessel over the running water. He shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird, with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields. And make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all matter of plague of leprosy and scurf, and for the leprosy of the garment and of the house, and for the rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean, and this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereupon he lieth shall that hath the issue is unclean, and everything whereupon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And he that sitteth on anything whereupon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And if he that has the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and he shall be unclean until even. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until even. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And basically, we have someone here that has some kind of issue, something coming out of them from perhaps an orifice in their body or an open sore. Of course, I think the open sore would have been more touched by the leprosy issue. So this would be something where you're running out of some orifice in your body, whether it be your genital area, maybe your ear or your perhaps your nose, who knows, out of the And whosoever toucheth, okay, and whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue, and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. So basically, when you're around someone who has an issue, cleanliness is the utmost importance to make sure that you don't get the issue. In other words, you don't want to touch someone else's issue and then scratch your eye or itch your ear or stick your finger in your mouth or touch yourself anywhere that you don't become contaminated with whatever that issue is. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he that hath an issue be cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before Yahuwah unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priests. And the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. The priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until even. And every garment and every skin whereupon his seed of copulation he shall be washed with water, and be unclean until even. The woman also with whom the man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall bathe themselves in water, and be unclean until even. And if the woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. And everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash her clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And if it be on the bed or anything whereupon she sitteth, then when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereupon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed wherein she sitteth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. After that she shall be clean, and on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtles and 2 young pigeons, and bring them into the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. The priest shall make an atonement for her before Yahuwah for the issue of her uncleanness. So she shall separate the children of Israel for their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that hath an issue, of him whose seed goeth out from him, and is defiled therewith, of her that is sick, of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, of the man, and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. So basically, we've got a few issues mixed up here. Perhaps you could have a man who has an issue, some type of perhaps a uncleanness of a venereal disease, and has an issue thereby, or perhaps a temporary a virus or a fungus, or what do they call some of those things that today I don't know. Or a woman who has this type of issue. This also talks about a woman in her regular period of the blood flow, and how she has the days of her separation. Now, it was common, if you've been with me throughout the Old Testament, if you've noticed, and I really haven't taken too much notice of it through these studies, because it's not something that we've expounded on or really focused upon, and that was the relationship of men and women and how they kept house. And it doesn't take too much to discover or to realize that the men, that the patriarchs and the wives of the patriarchs kept separate tents. And if you go forward, you'll realize that if we go forward into the kings and we look at the lives of the kings, or in specifically King David or Solomon, you realize that they definitely, not being monogamous, they did not share the bed on a continual basis with their wife, because of course they had many wives, and many of the patriarchs had more than one wife or concubine, or even servants that female servants that they betrothed to themselves. And all of this, of course, under the law, was not an unlawful thing for them. So that you'll see that the men and the women did not really come together until the time was appropriate. And you'll see that as we went through Genesis, we saw that the wives of Jacob even bargained together to make time with their husband. So they worked it out, in other words, who would be spending time with the husband, and perhaps they would go by a lot of what would determine who was with the patriarch on what night would be determined by the cycles of their periods. So you see that things were a lot differently. Does that mean that men and women should have separate beds today? Well, perhaps. There's nothing against it. And there's nothing requiring men and women to have the same bed every night. And of course, right now, I don't have a wife with me, so of course I sleep in a bed by myself. And I think it's common for many men and women who can't sleep with someone else because perhaps one partner snores, and that's very common, and the other can't sleep, so they make arrangements. But should we observe this, separating ourselves out? Is there something wrong with a man and a woman having their own separate beds or even separate rooms? I mean, everyone wants separate rooms for their children, so there's nothing wrong with that. And I wouldn't put anyone down who did it, though a lot of people would. I think the idea of it seeming abominable that men and women having separate rooms, and that it being a great secret, because it is a secret, in many households, I would say, if not a majority, but a great percentage of households, it's a somewhat secret, because of course you can't keep it secret in the house, because everyone in the household knows what's going on. But it's really not a huge secret that many men and women don't share the bed or share even the same room every night with their marriage partner. So should we be separate? Perhaps for cleanliness, perhaps it would be a good idea. Perhaps it may be a little more intriguing or out of the ordinary. It may be even more erotic for husbands and wives to come together on occasion, rather than it being such an ordinary thing that they lay in the same bed. On their own side, of course, not coming together most of the time simply because it's inconvenient because of a lot of these issues. So anyway, that's something that, you know, people have to work out for themselves, but just something to kick around, something to consider, and something that really is a lot more common than most people would like to admit. And I've got a few more comments in that vein when we come back from the break. CrossTheBorder.org. Email me. Perhaps you have something to say by now. Be back in a few minutes.